a moment in your bones when the fire takes over. Blood is running, heart is pumping as the battle gets closer. They can say what they want now, cause we'll be screaming out. We can be
welcome to the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Got three amazing, phenomenal, incredible hockey players in tonight, and this song kind of speaks to them as keep your silver, give me that gold, because you guys went and got it last year, and trying for it again this year. And we're going to talk all about that today as we bring them in right now, as we go around the table. Start with my direct left. Come on!
Hi,
there we go. Ladies and gentlemen, that voice you heard, first time ever she's been in this studio with us here on the radio. Alex Anderson, how are you? How's everything going?
Phenomenal.
If you do know her from the broadcast, we do refer to her often as Sparky. So, yes, that is her. First time ever, as we said. At the end of the table, if you want those up, or can you hear anything? No?
Yeah,
you're good.
Good, you can hear?
Yeah?
Yeah.
End of the table is a returning guest, as we have Alana Sharman back. Hi, Alana. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And to her left, to my right, the incomparable, the unstoppable, Jordy Zacharias. Jordy, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Good, good. Excellent. I don't need to introduce you two, because you two have been here a number of times before, but since nobody really knows who you are, Alex, we're going to start with you, because this should be fun.
Yay.
This should be crazy. Rumor has it, that you were a West Kildonan Collegiate Wolverine.
That rumor is true.
Okay, good, good. A two-time MVP there in the sport of hockey?
That's a possibility.
All right, that's fair. You were a nominee for the Winnipeg Women's High School Hockey League MVP as well. You can say yes to that, because that is
Sparky,
true.
Sparky, wow. Yeah,
okay. You are true. That is true. Spent one season with the Avros, Winnipeg Avros, in the Manitoba Female Midget Hockey League.
This is true.
Where you posted 13 goals and 12 assists. You're going to say yes to that, because that's true as well.
Yes.
Okay, good.
I didn't even know that.
Good. No, that's all right. For those who don't know, Canada West first team All-Star in 2016-2017, a U-Sports second team All-Star in 2016-17, and a 2018-2019 Can West second team All-Star.
Woo, 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 woo!
I think that's true.
Good, good, because I'm pretty sure that's true as well. There's a rumor, again, another rumor, but there's a rumor that you gave up hockey at age 5 because it was too rough.
Yeah.
What? Why have I never?
How do you
this,
give
Sparky?
It up at 5? Like, isn't that when you start?
She came back at 9, but for 4 years she did not play the sport, and it's kind of funny considering how she plays now.
How rough that she is now. Yeah.
Interesting.
I would always. No one ever wanted to go goalie, so I would go goalie all the time. And then, like, I wasn't very. That was the age no one could raise the puck, so okay. I would put my stick down with like my knuckles and like showing my hands over top, like grasping the stick. And then people would just like whip the puck along the ice. And I had like the. I think I was basically just wearing like
just
finger
across the goal line.
And I was just wearing like finger mitts, and so like my knuckles were always busted up. It was like the. Yeah. And then so I didn't like it. And no one else would go goalie, so that was just my only experience. Of hockey.
That's fair.
So then I think I just played a couple years of like just going out the outdoor playing for fun, and then just started beating my brother a lot at it. So I had fun with that, and it made me want to play.
Well done. Well, all right, that's good. A little beat up on the brother. I like that. According to John Rempel, he asked you to dial it back a little bit with the physicality in 2016, mm-hmm. and did that happen?
Yeah.
I'm not certain that happened either. So
I got a lot of penalties.
Her discipline.
You did have a lot of penalties that year.
49, which is hard to do.
49 minutes that year.
That's
by far the highest in your career.
She liked to be in the box. It was
little
she wanted some rest, 2 minute rest.
I was going to say a little quiet time.
You got to learn Like when the ref is looking.
Well, I'm not going to say this is an absolute fact, but we're pretty certain you're the maybe the throw the biggest hits in the league at this point, because there was a couple of times. There was one time last year. I'm pretty sure you could have decapitated a player, but
what?
She came off the bench as the player was coming up the boards. I'm pretty sure it was from either Mount Royal or Regina. Literally head down, and you stepped off, and you literally stepped back, because if they would have ran into you, I'm pretty sure they'd be dead now.
See, I don't want to hurt anyone.
Yeah, we're not.
No, and we're not asking you to hurt anybody.
We're also not here to get hurt ourselves.
We're not asking you to get hurt, but it's just the kind of like, oh, she could have killed somebody right there.
So. I like to think I give what I take.
I've never seen you get lined up for a hit, so I've seen you bump a few players. I've seen a few players bump you in the corner, but I've never seen some of the hits that you've delivered out there. The open ice is just that's legitimately the wild zone for you.
I ran into Sparky the other day in practice when we were going 1-on-1, and I think she knocked the wind out of me just from me running into her. So she's pretty sturdy. I felt it after.
So for those that want to know, she will graduate this year. Unfortunately, we'll lose Sparky, but in 120 games played, 12 goals, 38 assists, 48 points. Do you know how many penalty minutes you have? Do you want to know? 148. It's not that bad.
How many do we have?
Not that many.
Comparable.
Not
compare.
That many.
I just want to compare.
Yeah, compare.
Let's just say more than 100 less.
I have two. That sounds about right.
You have but how many of that was in my first year, right?
Not first year, it was the third year that was the worst. Second year that was the worst. It was 49 penalty minutes that year.
Oh, yeah.
All the other ones have been around 27, 28, 29 penalty
defense,
minutes.
Defense, it's different. I don't know.
You were just staking your claim in the second year.
You were just like...
making your mark.
Don't come across this line, I dare you.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave you to the end there, Charmin, because you've got some stuff to talk about, but Jordy, you're not graduating until next year.
Yeah,
but you lucky duck.
But you're still in the record books. You know that?
It's pretty impressive.
I am.
You are. Do you know what you're in the record books for? It sounds like you don't. So I can remind you if you want.
My hat trick.
That's one of the many things that you're in the record
books
for.
Fastest hat trick.
Fastest three goals in Canada West history, November 9th, 2018, against Lethbridge, when you set the record in 6 minutes and 38 seconds in the third period of an 8-0 win.
With real nice goals.
The third goal was ridiculous, yeah.
The third goal?
Yeah, where you danced in and went backhand.
Oh, that was a different day.
No, I'm pretty sure that was safe.
My third goal was just a rebound.
Oh, okay. I think it was your first goal.
My first one was a penalty kill.
Whatever it was. Still 638. Do you want to know the other records that you hold right now?
Yeah, I don't know what this one is.
So you're tied second for all time right now in Canada West for game-winning goals.
Ho-ho!
You have six.
Of all time, Jordy.
You have six right now. The only other player who's active right now that can possibly catch you is Alex Poznikov from Alberta. She has three.
Mm. Wow. I think most of those were last year, actually.
You're one behind the leader. Wow. All time.
Dang, girl. He likes to win games.
So there you go.
I don't like
to. You're also in the record books for having the third fastest two goals by one team. You're one half of that to start a period. You and Carissa Kirkup decided to team up and beat up on Regina on January 7th, 2017 in the third period when she opened the scoring with 36 seconds in and you added another 52 seconds in.
Holy. Where do all these stats get listed?
We know where to find them.
Oh, they dig.
We know where to find them. So far, I mean, you spent 1 year at UConn, so that's going to... Not UConn, the province, but UConn, the NCAA school, University of Connecticut. In 3 years so far, 35 goals, 17 assists, 52 points. Not bad at all. Not bad at all.
Take it.
Not bad at all. Charmin, you want to talk about your stuff? That
I mean, we can
crazy?
Skip it.
No, we can talk about it, I think, because that's not bad. Do you know where you rank all time?
I wanted to learn about my high school accomplishments.
We talked about that a long time ago. You're good.
Yeah. No, I do not.
15th all time in Canada West right now in points scored.
Wow.
You have 42 goals, 67 assists, 109 points in 115 games played. It's basically a point per game.
Almost.
Basically. Your second all-time in Manitoba stats, you know who you trail?
Addie Miles, the one and only.
Addie Miles. You are ninth all-time in assists in Canada West. You rank two ahead of one Lauren Keane.
Ooh.
You also have the eighth fastest two goals. You're one half of this. Eighth fastest two goals by one team to start a period. you don't recall this, I bet, because that happened like 4 years ago. October 17th, 2014.
Oh, my first year. Wow.
Maggie scored a goal. Maggie Litchfield Med scored a goal at a buck 10, and then you scored at 131.
Was this Mount Royal?
Yes.
That was my first goal.
Wow. Yeah. That was your first U Sports goal.
Yeah.
That was an early, early goal in the season, and that was your first goal. Good call on that. 2014-2015, you were the Canada West Rookie of the Year, which I'm sure you remember.
Huge.
I don't remember that.
You probably do remember that. That's all right. 2016-2017, you were the Universiade silver medalist. 5 games played, 1 goal, 7 assists. Didn't have any problems there, did you?
Holy cow.
Yeah, there was a lot of goals scored that week.
There certainly
that
was,
week.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that either.
Yeah. This young lady to my left, Miss Anderson, spent some time at a camp that you didn't attend. As you went to the 2017 Hockey Canada Summer Showcase, I understand. Yeah. How'd that go for you?
That was a lot of fun. That was good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times out there?
It was, yeah.
Yeah? A lot of penalties? No?
No, that was after I came back.
Oh, okay. That's all right then. That's good then. So there's a quick rundown of the three stars we have in the studio tonight. If you're looking to catch them on the ice, 7 p.m. Friday, 7 p.m. Saturday, 4 p.m. Sunday's not going to be necessary, is it?
The plan is to win in two.
Okay,
so.
Good. That's a good plan. All three games, if necessary, definitely the first two are going to be on 101.5 UMFM and on UMFM's second stream. You can catch it basically anywhere in the world. So get your radio dial set and your internet location set to UMFM.com. You can catch that. Some issues that need to be addressed, though.
Issues. We have issues?
Yeah. UBC was 2-0-2 against you guys this year.
2-0-2.
Oh, yeah. Wait.
Yes. They won 2. They lost 2 in the overtime / shootout. Didn't lose a regulation game. Doesn't help for the playoffs. There is no shootout.
It's a different game.
Yeah. It's a different game.
Playoffs
all right,
are a different
fine.
Game.
UBC went 3 for 14 on the power play against Regina, which 3 of their 10 total goals were scored. So that last game was a bit of a gong show where they went 2 for 13, but whatever. UBC was also successful on 6 of 7 penalty kills against Regina, so that doesn't help either. You guys went 0 for 11 against UBC this year on the power play.
Well, I guess that'll have to change in playoffs.
Maybe.
It's also the plan.
They went 4 for 13 against you guys, including the 3 of 4 in the first weekend of February.
Yep.
That doesn't help.
We've studied their power play.
We're good.
That's what I want to hear.
We're looking forward to this weekend.
UBC was 9-2-2-1 on the road. They only gave up 19 goals on the road in 14 games this year.
Only takes one to win.
True. And speaking of one, you guys were 10-1-2-1 at home, where you scored 45 goals this year.
Holy.
That's
so
a lot of goals.
You guys put a lot by goaltenders. How's the confidence level? How's the team looking? Are you guys are ready to roll?
Well, we were pretty good up until...
until you gave us all the
Listen,
stats.
Listen, I'm just giving you numbers. Numbers don't mean anything in the playoffs because it starts over again, so...
I think everybody's pretty excited. I mean, having a bye weekend, you're always itching to get back into Friday's game.
Yeah.
I mean, Monday, I woke up and I was like, can it be Friday already? So I think that speaks to... I think everybody on the team feels that way.
Good. I mean, obviously, Maddie still... injured in terms of her being out. Any significant changes that you've seen in terms of lineup changes? No, that we need to know about? No.
Same old.
Roll with it.
We keep our playbooks close to
close to the chest. There, yeah. That's all right then. If you're looking at the other side, they play real weird numbers. They play 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, so you'll know exactly what's going on with that. But it doesn't look good for Sask.
We believe in them.
They're 1-7-0-0 in the last 5 years at Alberta, including being 1-3-0-0 this season in all 4 games, where they were outscored 6-2 in 4 games. Not a high scoring event, but they didn't score many goals.
Yeah, I think both their games are predicated on their defense. So
pretty much
they're gonna have some
low scoring.
Yeah. I think all the playoffs are gonna be low scoring.
If there's one positive though, Alberta was just 1 for 15 on the power play versus Saskatchewan this year. So this looks like it's gonna be a 5-on-5 decision in terms of what happens there. The other difficult numbers to swallow, Alberta outshot their opponents in 27 of 28 games this year. In those games they were 23-4-0. When Alberta was outshot in their one game, they did lose. So Saskatchewan can somehow find some offense. And it'll
they
be good.
Did.
You just got to shoot
against in their first game.
In their first game, they did. Saskatchewan, unfortunately, is 6-7-0-1 on the road this year. Alberta is a ridiculous 13-1 at home, where they've only allowed 7 goals in 14 games.
Wow. They're a pretty good team.
Yeah, they're pretty good defense.
They got some pretty good stuff going on there. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. In saying that, though, and I know you guys don't care because it's all about winning and winning this weekend and certainly don't care about next weekend until you get there. Looking at what you got to do this week, what's the – and again, I'm not asking for game plans. I know Sean's got his own game plan. I'm not asking you guys to release unknown information or certainly sort of secret information, I guess, in terms of what's going on. But what's the game plan for this weekend besides put more pucks in the net than they do? Do you guys have anybody?
That is our game plan. Yeah. You kind of stole it.
Do you guys have specific players that you're going to be keying on? Are there players you know that they – look, if we shut them down, there's a good chance we win?
I mean, yeah, we just went through our pre-scouts, so we know what to expect from them. This is our fourth time playing them, or fifth time playing them this year. And for some of us, especially at this table, a lot more than fifth time playing
True,
them.
True, yeah, yeah.
So, our game plan is really to go out there and play our game. I think if we all stick to what we've been doing this year and just keep trending in the right direction, and like you said, getting those shots on net, it'll be a fun weekend.
I'm just hoping Charmy and Jordy are on their game so
okay.
I can sit back and relax.
Listen.
Oh, that's your game plan.
Listen,
eh?
don't take anything away from you because I believe it was 2 years ago where you scored both game-winning goals against Alberta to eliminate them in the playoffs. So I'm pretty
Sparky
certain.
Does that very often.
I'm pretty
I think
certain.
That's every year.
Pretty certain you got a key in this there, Sparky. So
and last year. You scored the overtime goal.
Sparky likes playoff hockey, as
yeah.
do I.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's yeah, we're definitely excited for this weekend.
Take it to the next level. Is that what you guys are saying?
We're yeah.
that's even more fun to host.
It's that's a different fun. Game. You can be that much more rough and you won't get penalties.
Okay.
there were some penalties that were called in last year's game against
yes,
Alberta.
Yes, we remember.
Yeah, game one.
We remember.
Look at Jordy calling people out over there. Wow.
I know Amy. And she felt really bad about that one.
If you're looking for tickets, if people are looking for tickets, if staff or students are looking for tickets, if you go to the Active Living Center, tickets are buy one, get one free. Students do get in free, but if you're... If
staff.
You, no, that's not true.
What?
It's for playoff hockey, it's different, apparently.
There's like a poster in the ALC, and it
oh,
says
so
students
if active
get in
living,
free.
Okay, so if Active Living have changed the rules, then that's
even
better.
It may be for like family and friends, maybe? I don't know.
Staff anyway, for sure. It's
oh, yeah, staff
free.
Is buy one,
yeah.
get one.
So if you're looking for tickets, still buy one, get one free over there. If you know somebody, get them to buy you tickets. It's better that way. Then you don't have to pay as much money to get in there, so that's going to be awesome as well. I don't know how you guys feel about it. I don't know how you guys were looking at it. Did you watch any of the games from last week?
I kept updated in the stats.
Yeah,
didn't want to buy the CanWest package to watch that.
That's fair.
We watched all the goals and we did our pre-scout today.
Okay, good. I was gonna say there's enough video out there to probably give you guys enough information, but yeah. Transition game seems to be where UBC really took advantage of Regina. Are you guys looking at different things to do because that transition game is? Legitimately, they pick up the puck in their own zone, and it's coming out as fast as it went in. So is that a key for you guys this weekend to disrupt that transition game?
We definitely talked about it and how their neutral zone is very strong. It's not something we specifically are focusing
no, yeah,
on because
but.
As long as we do our forecheck, it will stop them from doing that, right? So as long as we're on our game, I think.
I think back pressure is going to be huge, like make sure we have a good high forward in case – they do break it out, and then we have a good back check going.
Right on. The pinching D seems to be another favorite move by Graham Thomas.
Oh, yeah? Thanks for the tips.
You
I'm going to write this down right
Our pre-scout.
Charmin, I can turn your mic off.
No, I'm just joking. It is
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
We didn't watch the games.
No. But that seems to be something that they were doing, activating the D a lot to force either a forward to sort of crash down with them and then giving them more room up top. But... we saw it against you guys where Grodnichuk scored and probably shouldn't have been on a 2-on-1, but she was. Are you guys going to be flying around the zone just as much as they are? Because I want to see the full, and I know you guys were the top scoring team this year, but I want to see the full Bison experience of unleash the beast. Like, I want to see that happen in this playoffs. I get it. Defensive zone coverage is always going to be important. Rob will kill me if I suggest otherwise, but... Are we going to see you guys just throw caution to the wind and go crazy?
We can't sit back, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You can't sit back because then they're going to build speed, they're going to use their size, and they're going to drive the net from it. So are we going to run around with our chickens like a head cut off? But no. But as long as we're structured at the same time, you still got to be aggressive, right? So
I think, yeah, our focus is still D first, but obviously... They play a fun hockey game. Like they take risks, like you said. Yeah. They're deep pinches. So when we get those opportunities, yes, we're gonna jump, but we definitely, our goal is to stick to D first hockey and work our way up from there.
1-3-1 on the power play. They're pretty much the only team using it in Canada West. I'm gonna ask you, Sparky, because you have to deal with a lot of it. Are you going to make people pay in front of the net? Because it seems like that backdoor play they throw across the crease a lot is where they're going to try and take advantage of it. They did a lot against Regina as well. Thankfully, Regina played not too aggressively to mm-hmm. counter that. But in saying that, are people going to pay to stand in front of Lauren Tereschuk this weekend? Not take penalties, just... make their lives difficult. You know what I mean?
Like, make Chucky give them a little shot.
A little cheese board to the back of the head. Or, yeah, you know.
Well, you got to be aggressive. You got to stay structured. And then you have to know, like, when to pounce, I guess.
Okay.
Part of, like, that structure is making sure that, like, people aren't just having a nice spot in front of the net.
Yeah, no picnics in front of the net, is that what you're saying? Yeah. Good. I like that idea. In terms of overall feeling, you've had a week off, had a week to rest. Legs looking good out there. You guys feeling it for this weekend in terms of getting out of the blocks early here?
Yep. Practice was feeling good today.
Good up-tempo beat. Yeah, tempo pace.
We've had great practices all last week. So I think we've had the perfect amount of rest to work ratio. So
good.
Everyone should be firing.
Good. Let's get that elephant out of the room then and get everybody down. Again, if you want to catch the game, 7 p.m. at Wayne Fleming on Friday, 7 p.m. on Saturday. Sunday's not going to be necessary, but if it is, 4 p.m. on Sunday. So get down. If you can't get down, tune in on UMFM. We'll get that going as well in terms of having some fun with that. I do want to talk about, there's a major Pro-Am tournament coming up, and for those who are graduating, Pro-Am as in professionals and amateurs, coming up in December next year. Sorry, Jordy, you might be busy that weekend. I don't know. I haven't seen the schedule yet. But December 6th, there's a major tournament coming in that Hockey Helps the Homeless, a major sort of charity from Ontario, is going to actually expand into Winnipeg. And they are going to be looking for teams and players to come out and get that going. Ryan, who's in charge of the whole thing, we're going to be talking to him in a future show. I've set it up with him that probably on, I think, March 7th, we're going to be talking to him. But... basically what it is they bring out a number of pros, number of former pros, not current pros, but former pros, to come out and play with teams that want to raise money to help get this going. They have given away, so far in terms of their setup, $3.2 million. All the money raised in your city stays in your city. They take a small cut for administrative purposes to pay off rink costs and all that kind of stuff. But they are aiming to raise approximately $100,000 first year, and then grow from there. It's a 10-team tournament, which means that 10 pros will certainly be in town to join up with various teams. The cost per team is $3,000 just to start, and then every player has to raise $500. This will happen December 6th, as I said, to get that going. If you're looking to get in, Hockey Helps the Homeless is now accepting team sponsorship and or players, if that's the case. But they may need free agents, is what I was told. So if you're interested, graduating players,
I'm a free agent. I'll be here.
Let me know coming up closer, and we'll see if we can get you into that. But it's going to be a major event. It's going to be held at Seven Oaks Arena, the brand new Seven Oaks Arena, in terms of getting that going. It starts on a Thursday, or the draft, sorry, is on the Thursday. The entire tournament runs on a Friday. So it's a way to sort of help everybody out. And like I said, they're going to be finding places to donate the money to. They're working with a couple of different places right now, try and secure that location as being their spot. I know you guys did a bunch of charity work this winter in December, so I don't know. What are you giving me that look for, that you didn't do that?
No, we did, yeah.
Charmin, you're... You're, seriously, I don't know about you sometimes.
You gave me sugar before the show.
I know. Well, I'm giving you sugar during the show, too. Yeah. In saying that, you guys obviously do a lot of good charity work. You guys did Silent Mission this year. You guys have done the holiday hampers. Fantastic work that way. Did you guys get out? Did you guys actually have a chance to get out this year to Silent Mission? If you say no, it's not a big thing. Yeah, no, I know you've gone in the past.
I think I'm not sure.
Our team did. Not everyone did.
Yeah, we did get numbers
of girls that did go. Yeah.
Yeah.
But none, you three were not those girls.
I did not make it.
I went last year.
See, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Again, I'm not going to make it
with my schedule this year.
That's fine. That's okay. So if you want, there's opportunities there. They're also looking for volunteers. So if people are still interested in volunteering, there's a chance that you can get and do that. There's all sorts of different subcommittees that you can be involved in. So if you want to do that, that's going to be awesome to get that in and get that going. So lots to talk about that way as we go into the just before the break. But Hockey Helps Homeless will be here in December to run that tournament on December 6th. Again, I don't know if it's going to interfere, but if it doesn't, Jordy, you may be able to get in on that as well.
That'd
as a free
cool.
agent.
Because
if,
be really cool.
if it runs into the way that it did this year, it looks like that last weekend would
be
November 30th, November 30th,
oh,
December
yeah,
1st.
Fine, yeah.
You guys may be off that weekend, that week. So we'll see what happens that way. And
maybe
I was
the
told,
whole team could enter.
We do a team event. Yeah.
I was told to, well, hey, if you want to put a team in and get a pro to play on your team.
I'll be the pro on your team.
Just kidding.
Wow. Sparky will be the pro on the team.
Good step up there. Some of the pros that have come out, though, Nick Antropov is obviously in terms of the Jet stuff. Nick Antropov, Wayne Babich, Dave Babich have been there. Shane Corson, Chris King. There's been a bunch of guys that have been who've certainly come out. From the women's side, Natalie Spooner was a huge, huge proponent of it last year in Toronto. She was out. They had, I can't remember, there was a couple others that came out as well, but they were trying to go through a whole list of them at the meeting the other day. So I will be involved. I don't know exactly to what extent yet, but they've already asked me to be involved, so that will happen as well.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So we'll get that going. We'll talk to Ryan, who is in charge of Hockey Helps Homeless. They're based out of Toronto, based just north of Toronto. So we'll talk to them in a couple weeks in terms of getting that going. The other thing that's happening right now, which you probably are, if you're already there, you're definitely not listening to us. Habs alumni game going on in Crystal City, trying to raise funds for that. Apparently it's super well in terms of getting stuff going. Janae Buchanan from Crystal City, her dad's playing tonight against the alumni. So
he's playing for the alumni.
Oh, did he get in the alumni?
She said that they need an extra player and he helps run the rink. So he got to, and then they needed another one and her uncle is flying in from Toronto. So
oh, right on. There we go.
To play. And then her brother's reffing. So she cruised home
after practice
today to get there for it. So
that's awesome that they're getting all that stuff done. There were some notable names in there. Matthew Danino was one of them. Patrice Breezeblaw was coming in for that. I think some of the other ones, Oleg Petrov was in there. Glenn Metropolit was another one. Richard Svanier, who was part of the Canadians in the 80s, was going to play net for them. So a lot of big names coming in terms
they're
of...
They're too old for us. I have no idea.
What were they raising money for?
They're raising money to help Crystal City Minor Hockey. So
cool.
Basically what we did last year in Shiloh with the Bruins alumni coming in there, the Habs alumni coming in. They usually do one tour per year. So Crystal City was with their hit last year they were in Brandon to help raise money for Brandon Minor Hockey. So
cool.
Good for them to
that's awesome.
To come out and raise a little money for Crystal City to help that out. So I've been in touch with the gentleman in charge of it. They're going to try and give us an update after everything goes down tonight. Let us know exactly how successful the event was. If you're interested in doing that, we'll give you information next week on how to get in touch with the alumni, and maybe you can bring them out to your community. So there you go.
Nice.
A little bit of fun there. So other than that, we are through the first half hour of the show. I'm going to clear off some of the stuff and get rid of the good stuff. We're going to play the Legal ID right away, folks. We'll be back in about, this is a long one. We're back in about a minute. I'm not sure what this Legal ID is about, but play this right away. We'll come back. We'll talk with these ladies about everything else going on in the hockey world as we get set here on the hockey show for the back half here on 101.5 UMFM.
Our founding fathers guaranteed us certain protections. The freedom of speech, freedom of religion, the freedom to own and play stringed instruments of all kinds. Those founding fathers didn't place restrictions on these freedoms. They didn't say the right to play guitar shall not be violated except when used to play Green Day's Time of Your Life over and over again in a common area of your dorm. No! Where will these restrictions end? A background check when you want to take up the banjo? A 5-day waiting period to buy a Telecaster? An all-out ban on the Flying V? Or, dare I say, whammy bar? Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, it is up to you to defend our right to keep and bear guitars.
You're listening to CJUM FM 101.5, broadcasting at 1200 watts from the University of Manitoba, defending your rights as well as the rights of others since 1998.
And we are back on 101.5 UMFM. This is the hockey show. We are here with three of our playoff, annual playoff participants. They are there every year. Alana Sharman, Alexander Anderson, who I'm just going to call Sparky because nobody knows your full
nobody
name.
Nobody calls her Alex.
Nobody ever calls you that. Sorry. And Jordy Zacharias. I want to start with, I'm going to say, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but it's a 12-minute piece. I'm not going to play it all, but... Bob Nicholson was on CBC Radio the other morning basically talking about the Edmonton Oilers and how they're doing. I don't know if he really resolved anything, really put anything in, but that franchise might be the worst franchise in all of sports. Maybe next to, I don't know if Ottawa and Edmonton are competing for this
Canadian
title.
But cities nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good, but... looking at what Edmonton has done to their team, Bob Nicholson was awful on the radio the other day, and I don't know if he restored any hope for any fans out there. I don't know if any of you are. I'm hoping that none of you are Oilers fans.
I mean, I'll cheer for a Canadian team unless they're playing
sure.
the Jets. But
sure, yeah. What do you do right now if you're Edmonton? You're legitimately on the edge of the playoffs. You can't really give up if you're that close yet. Yeah. You're awful, and you're probably not going to make it.
I read a tweet the other day that they need a woman in their system. They need to bring in a woman to run their team.
That's
you read
a,
that? I
think that's so. An interesting thought, considering that Haley Wickenheiser works for the Leafs.
Yeah, you never hear about her, but...
Well, she's sort of behind the scenes working with the Marlies and trying to get people sort of up and ready to play with the Leafs, but... Maybe that's an answer. Maybe there is an opportunity there at some point, because right now, I don't know... It doesn't look like this ship has anybody sort of sailing it. So
yeah.
It's destined to sink at this point. So, again, asking you guys, not that any of you have ever been through a terrible situation like the Oilers are in. I mean, I don't think the Bisons have ever been terrible since any of you have been here. So what do you do in this situation? If you're a hockey player and you look at this roster and you go, man, what are we doing? Like, is that the worst situation to be in?
Just going to pass this off to our resident hockey hockey
okay.
analyst, Jordy Zacharias.
I don't know. There's lots of teams where you may, I don't know, like not necessarily the NHL, but just in general.
In general, yeah.
You may not have the talent, but you have the work ethic and the heart and the want. Maybe, I don't know what their dressing room situation's like or what their leadership team is like. Obviously, they have McDavid, who...
Pretty good hockey player.
Leads by example. Obviously, it carries their team. They don't have a lot of depth after that, I guess. But,
no, there's not. No.
Like when they brought Hitchcock in, it looked good for a while.
But he's not even coaching now. He's sitting in the stands.
Yeah.
Watching the team practice. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
are
it looked
serious?
Great.
Yeah.
It looked like a genius at the beginning, and then now I'm just, not sure. But I don't know. I guess, like you said, they're on the edge. So for this year, what can you do, right? Is there even, like... They've traded, they've done everything, they've fired,
But every time they make a trade, they're worse for it.
It doesn't seem... It seems to benefit the person that's leaving.
So I'm going to give you guys...
Who's coming.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to write them off because they're garbage, so... If only the Pandas were like that. That would be great, but... I'm going to actually bring this up, though. This is a fantastic story. UNB, University of New Brunswick, who resurrected their women's hockey program this year, has advanced to the second round.
Wow.
They beat UPEI, who will host nationals this year.
Oh, in the quarterfinals?
In the quarterfinals.
Ooh.
UNB will now play, I believe it's St. FX in terms of getting set for the night. Or no, St. Thomas. St. Thomas, who are going to get, I mean, they're going to be good. But pretty good story, though, where they had the setup that last week, I guess a couple weeks ago, last week, it was on February 9th, where they had a whole piece on them on Hockey Day in Canada. Uh-huh. A 5-minute piece on them, which was fantastic, talking about everything that's going on and how they're sort of getting everything going. They're a pretty good success story for women's hockey right now. They lead the AUS in attendance, They have the, I mean, again, we're not talking about huge numbers here, but they're averaging about 400 people a game.
That's quite, quite good.
And they're now into the second round, which is incredible. They were 2-0 against UPEI on UPEI ice as well this year. So going to the playoffs, they were pretty confident. They did it. They won, which is always a good sign to see. Obviously, we've had monster crowds in the playoffs, and it's always fun to play in front of in terms of seeing that. But looking at that, UNB is 1-2-1 against St. Thomas this year as an expansion team, quote-unquote, expansion team. And St. Thomas is ranked in the top 10, so maybe there's a chance, knock on wood, for a little more magic there. Mm-hmm. But looking at how much, and again, I only throw this back to you guys, looking at how far Mount Royal's come in their setup since joining from their whole sort of expansion time. Fifth place, best season ever for them. I'm going to arguably say in the worst and the toughest division to get out of in Canada West. How big is it for women's hockey to see these teams do well?
It's a big question.
For you guys, it is a big question because you guys, I mean, Manitoba's been around forever.
Yeah.
UBC and Regina, Saskatchewan, Alberta, all great. Nobody's questioning that. Lethbridge was in the race until kind of the... until you guys eliminated them. Dun, dun, dun.
Sorry.
In saying that, though, those are the two newest teams, but seeing Mount Royal sort of ascend up the rankings this year and finish in fifth, their best finish ever, how big is it for women's hockey in the West? Because you guys know it's not easy to get out of this conference.
For sure.
For them just to climb the ladder is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I saw that they made or won their first ever playoff game.
They
against
did
Sask,
against Sask, yeah.
Which, yeah, it's pretty incredible how.
I mean, their first playoff appearance was against you guys, and you guys swept them out. So
yeah, last year or two?
2 years
two
ago.
Two years ago. Oh yeah, it's incredible how much like grassroots hockey, female hockey has grown. I mean, I played boys until I was 11. Because just there weren't many female teams, and if there were, it was a few teams, there wasn't much to play, and now seeing how many Adam teams there are, below Adam, there's just so many, like I played Timbit hockey with boys, like there were max a handful of girls in that league at the time, and just seeing how there's their own Timbits female hockey in Winnipeg, just their own league of all girls, it's pretty incredible, and we love having fat little or teams out there, girls wanting to come into our dressing room and high five me as we go out. It's awesome to see, and obviously being kind of a role model to them, we love having them around, and congrats to UNB for making it that far. Hopefully they have a good playoff run against St. FX. It'd be interesting to see a whole nother, obviously PI will be hosting, so St. Thomas,
sorry.
PI will be hosting, so that'll probably be one of their first times in nationals in the past few years.
They got a few weeks to prepare now that they're out.
Yeah. So maybe another look having UNB there, that'd be pretty incredible for even just
huge,
the East Coast. How
for them to grow the game. I don't really know how big it is, but
New Brunswick is pretty small compared to
Well, and for the players themselves, like in the league, it makes it like the game's that much more interesting and the season that much more interesting too, when you don't know who's going to finish on top and who's going to finish on the bottom. Like, it's really just a toss up.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the usual four are always there for you guys. I mean, it's always Alberta, Manitoba, usually UBC and Saskatchewan. Then there's everybody else, and they sort of have to figure it out. But I mean, it sucks that, and I hate to say this, it sucks that Calgary can't get their act together and get back into the win column, because, I mean, that's a program that has a pretty storied history. It sucks that Lethbridge can't seem to get over that hump, although new coaching staff, you never know what's going to happen now. We asked Lauren and Carissa last week, did they notice a difference when you guys played them after the coaching change? Did you guys notice a difference in how that team was when you guys played them?
I mean, I only played against them that weekend, other than past years, but they were definitely...
But that's what I mean, though. Past years,
yeah. They were definitely wanting to, I feel like, play harder that weekend. they wanted to prove something there sure. So they were tough to play that weekend. Obviously, we went to overtime one of those games. And
well, that's what's so interesting. Like, every game we play is not an easy game.
No,
right?
Yeah.
Every team. But it always seems to, in the standings, like at the end of the year, it always seems to be kind of the same order, even though there'll be upsets during the year. But, like, every game is a tough one. It doesn't matter if you're first or eighth. But then it's just funny how it always seems to have the same order at the end of the year.
Never easy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and again, I mean, it's just who's coming in and who's not. And I mean, you look at some of the players that are going in. I mean, they're going to have a couple good players next year. Like, Lethbridge has already got a couple of good players that we saw at the Female World Sports School Challenge. In that, it looks like Brooklyn Palmer is going to be like their quarterback for their power play coming up. Like, she is dynamic with the Lloydminster Steelers out there. But again, you kind of look at it and you go, like, Alberta's got a ton of goal scorers coming in. You guys got a ton of players coming in. I mean, the turnover is almost unprecedented. It was like a couple of years ago when you guys, when there was 10 graduates from Manitoba and the rebuild began again. It's going to sort of be the same way again. But I look at it and I go, Mount Royal is not far off. They've got good players and they've got young players who are willing to do the work. I mean, Breanne Trotter was outstanding this year for them. And you kind of go, where are they going to be in 2 to 3 years? Are they going to be like a UNB where they can upset somebody in there? I mean, not really not an upset, but can they upset somebody and from the top four in Canada West? And I kind of, knock on wood, you kind of...
They easily could have against Sask.
Well, yeah, they were one goal different. I mean, again, 34-10 outshot in overtime, though. Yeah. I mean, it was just a matter of time at that point. But you kind of go, they were there, they were right there. And that's the thing, is that overtime, it's one bounce, one shot, and everything could change at that point. So I want to get your and again, you guys may laugh at this, I want to get your thoughts on post-game celebrations.
Are you talking about the Carolina?
Not only Carolina, Youngstown in the USHL are doing it, and they're having a great time with it. And it seems like those from a different era do not appreciate
them. Well, Tom Cherry.
Brian Burke's the same way.
Yeah, but who likes that guy?
I mean, I really don't like him.
I like Don Cherry, but...
I mean, everybody's done the stick wave.
But it seems to be a generation thing.
But yeah. This seems to be something, not only that brings the team together, but the fans love
it. Well, that's the thing. When you look at the context and, like, why they're doing it, you know, from what I've heard from Carolina, at least, is... They're not getting fans out to their games like as much as they'd like to. People have said that, and they're not doing it to rub it in the other team's face. Like, the other teams left the ice. They're kind of tired of the traditional, like you said, like, raise your stick in the air. Like, everyone does that, so why not make it more fun for the fans and bring more people out to the games? And they're doing it when they win, right? Like, it's not like you're doing it just for whatever.
Right.
It's like, you win the game, you should celebrate for it. And I think if you're going to bring the fans into it and create a great atmosphere out of it, then all the power to you. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, I personally love it. It's fun. I mean, they're creative and it looks awesome. I'd love to be in the stands for that, to watch players do that and after they win. And
hold on. You'd love to be in the stands. Would you like to be on the ice to do it?
Oh, I would 100% be down to do that. If we won a game, I would love... I don't know how they think of those creative ideas, like the baseball one. That was
fantastic.
Hilarious. Yeah. I don't see what the issue is. Those Don Cherry and Brian Burke stuck in their old age hockey traditions and everything.
There's a guy in Winnipeg, and I'm not going to mention his name, but he's a radio host and certainly has a very good following, who also doesn't like it.
I mean, everyone. There's always going to be people.
Yeah,
I guess,
people.
Right? Whatever you do,
sure,
is different. You're always going to have people. But.
So here's the question, then. You two are graduating. Is this something you're going to do next year, Jordy?
Nah, I like to stay original.
What? You just talked about how fun it is.
I think our fans would just say... it's mostly our parents.
Our
right?
fans leave so by the time.
But hold on. But that's the question then, because fans don't leave now when Carolina wins, and fans don't leave when these other teams that are doing it win. Yeah. Is this a way to maybe go, you know what? If it works for them, why not us?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be fun as a player to do it as well. Yeah, I mean, their clapping one is pretty fun.
A European one, and I've seen that happen in Europe a lot.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's fine. But like Youngstown the other day did, like a couple weeks ago, everybody got to center ice, and the guy who scored the game winning goal did like bowled a strike with his helmet.
I did see that. Yeah,
that's funny.
Which is awesome. And then again, the baseball one in terms of everything going on, the whole
domino effect.
Yeah, and they do the rowboat in terms of the rowing in terms of guys skating down the ice and hitting their backsides there. So it's for fun, and I think it's interesting that the more that teams do it, the more that people are like, oh my god, I can't believe they're doing this.
I think NHL players play so many games in a year, and I think just to keep interesting for them as well. It's something sure, new, it's something yeah, different. I mean, yeah, they're all competitive hockey players who love to win, but I mean, they play so many games in a year, it could get...
But hockey's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Yeah. And it is fun, and that doing that, celebrating in that way is also fun.
Fun for everyone.
Sparky, you've been quiet. Are you into this? Are you want to see a celebration?
Sparky loves to celly.
Would we not see the greatest celebration ever after game two and you guys advance? Is that not going to be the greatest celebration ever?
Probably. I can be just quiet after games. Sometimes I just walk off
no,
the ice.
No, we're not going to let you be quiet after games anymore. You were quiet for 5 years. You avoided us, so you're going to be...
She's here now.
You're going to have fun with it. In saying that, though, I think there's lots of opportunity out there for... And again, it's something... And again, I'm not saying you guys have to steal it or do anything like that or whatever. But is there something that's unique for you guys? Is there something that people are like, we didn't know they did that?
I don't know. We always have a wind song after our games in our dressing room. So
there you go. See?
I don't know. Do you remember what it was last year?
Last year it was My House.
My House.
Glorida.
Welcome to My House. And then this year it's Raise Your Glass by Pink.
All right. There you go.
It's a pretty good song. So we always like hearing that. We turn that real loud in that stereo system in our dressing room when we win. It's just a little something extra at the end.
Yeah. There you go.
Congratulate the win.
And that's something that not many people know about, because who gets to hang out with you guys after the game? Nobody. Nobody. Not even us, in terms of having fun with it. But that's awesome. I think that needs to continue. Good on you guys for having something that's a little bit different in terms of getting it going. But I'm putting it on you, Jordy. I want to see that next year. I'm just saying. Speaking out loud. So
start planning.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys saw the scrap.
Oh, the two university teams?
Yeah, Acadia and Saint Effects.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Saw a bit of that, yep.
Did you hear the final piece of it?
I did. I heard a few different stories.
Well, not so much the stories, but how it's sort of over now, because Acadia was eliminated on
Monday
night.
They did play each
other
in the playoffs.
They did, yeah. And Saint Effects eliminated them. The guy who scored the series-clinching goal was none other than Sam Studnicka, the guy who was front and center in that whole thing.
The victim.
He was the guy that had the comment made to him, who started the brawl, who was unhappy with the fact that people were calling him a rapist.
He scored
the series-clinching goal on Monday night. So a little bit of karma right there. But in looking at that, are there lines, especially for you, I mean, it gets a little bit different for women's hockey, I know, but especially for you guys, are there lines you just can't cross in hockey? Because I believe that would be one of them, if that's the case in men's hockey.
Yeah.
Are there lines, and has anybody, and again, I'm not asking you for examples, but has anybody that you know of ever crossed that, one of those lines?
From what I've experienced, we're very, like, compared to the men's game, I don't think we have anything close to what they say to each other.
I get that.
And I've never experienced or heard, I don't think, anything.
No, like, obviously there's a little chirps here and there, but, I mean... We're not here to degrade anybody or put anybody down. We're here to play a game, and it's competitive, and your emotions might get the best of you sometimes, but there's definitely a line that it's just a game, you don't cross to a certain extent. Yeah, if you don't like somebody on the other team, you play your game and you let them play theirs. It's supposed to be fun, right? Like you said, and it's a hockey game at the end of the day. It's not a personal attack on someone for something.
Yeah, I think when it gets personal, that's where it's probably a line. Which I don't think we've really...
I mean, Sask said that my pugs were ugly in playoffs a few years ago, and I was...
Okay, whoa, how did they even know you had...
I know a couple people on the team.
Oh, okay, that's fair enough. Okay.
But yeah, they made us a couple signs.
That is personal.
One said, my pugs were ugly, so we went and beat them. I mean, I didn't feel attacked, but it was pretty funny. That's a funny thing to do. It's a funny trick.
Okay, but Schubert had that happen to her where...
That was the same, the same game.
Where she stole the sign, and that was awesome.
About her 5-hole or something. There's funny things that can happen like that, but there's definitely a line, and I mean, I haven't heard it been crossed in my 5 years of playing hockey, but at University of Manitoba, but yeah, I couldn't imagine being a part of that on either side of those teams.
No, that was insanity.
It was crazy.
Well, especially in that situation, like, you don't know, right? Like, you say that, you don't know the backstory of that person.
But that's exactly it. That
or had someone very close to him who was
a family member, actually, yeah.
Yeah, like, I didn't know that. But someone very close to him that was a victim of sexual assault. So you have no idea going into that, which doesn't make it any better or any worse. But, like,
but
you always got.
I mean,
have
that's
that
a line I don't think mind. Anybody would cross. And again, there was, and again, I'm not going to bring this up, but there, I had made a whole story about it on Hockey Blog in Canada, and somebody had said that really Stadnik was the guy that should take a step back, that it's his fault. And I'm going, no, it's not his fault. He's the guy who reacted to somebody calling. Like, that's a very specific insult to throw. And unless you don't know, that's not something that comes up on the ice where you're just like, hey, man, like, don't be this. Yeah. Don't be a rapist. Like, you don't say that on the ice ever as a joke. It's pretty serious accusation. So, I don't know. I thought it was kind of crazy, but.
Good on him.
Sparky, did
scoring.
You not see? Did you not? Were you not part of this?
Did you hear that?
I heard bits and pieces about it. Yeah.
So you haven't seen them? You were not part of the fight? In terms of not you, but you didn't see it?
You were not in
it?
The fight on that?
You didn't see it, though?
I didn't see it.
Okay, well, if you didn't see it...
You need to go watch it.
I'm going to give you... I'm going to give you a quick overview, because here's...
The bench. Darren Burns trying to get people separated. Cormier off the bench, punching somebody.
Like, there was a full bench-clearing brawl.
This is unbelievable.
Between two teams.
15 people were suspended, I think.
Unbelievable. I've never seen this in 30 years of covering hockey in university.
Like, it went crazy.
That's why you don't put the bench in the bench.
Yeah,
when are they going to figure
this out? Pelly box between.
Well, that's a normal hockey thing. But they fade that out. That's a normal hockey thing, but... In total, there were 16 players that were suspended just from the fights, and then they went further and suspended a bunch of other people. So,
and wow. Both coaches, I think.
Both coaches were suspended the 2 games, and then they got an additional 8 games on top of that, to which Sandifex is now appealing.
Because so how did they play against each other recently?
So they basically had 2 regular season games remaining after that, and then they had the 2 playoff games or the 3 playoff games that they played. There were players that missed the entire remainder of the season plus playoffs.
Wow.
In terms of what happened there. So yeah, it was insanity. And if you actually go, I mean, if you want to read a little bit more, there was a fan who had his phone who was on the side of the benches who recorded
that's
it.
Right, the one I saw.
That's the one that's a little bit more.
You can hear the coaches.
You can hear the profanity.
The comments made between the two benches, the two coaches, was bad enough. But there were, you could hear everything the players were saying as well. So rarely ever happens in Canadian University hockey, but. I guess that does happen. Although, and I shouldn't say that. I mean, the Bisons have been involved in their own stuff. So, in preseason hockey, because there's no penalties for that, there's always scraps. Yes.
Oh, okay. We have not.
No, not you guys. You guys are way calmer.
Like
you guys are way calmer than that. Anyway, Sandifex will go on. They eliminated Acadia from the playoffs, and they'll go on to play the St. Mary's Huskies on the men's side. But again, we're talking about 7 teams that literally just practice for UNB and on the men's side because they're dominant. So.
How was the Sandifex Acadia game? Like in the playoffs?
Right? Playoffs, there was no problems. It was very calm. There was a couple
probably
of.
Probably told by the universities to keep it low key.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was thankfully a very calm playoff game. I don't know if you guys heard about the setup that happened in Ontario as well as a 6th. This is going to be funny for you guys, but because you guys may know a little bit more about the rules than I do. Actually, I know about the rules, but it doesn't really make a lot of sense. So I will play this for you and you can laugh about it because this is actually kind of goofy. See if I can get it up. If I can get the... there's no volume on this. Where's the volume? I have another volume here. Oh, there we go. Okay, here we go. So that terrible audio, which was recorded, was in a GOJHL game.
What's that?
Greater Ontario Junior Hockey League.
Okay.
That goal that you just heard was scored in double overtime by the goaltender.
Oh, I was trying to watch
that
video.
Actually, yeah.
How did the goalie score?
Okay, so here's how everything went down. So there's no shootout at the end of overtime in the Greater Ontario Junior Hockey League. If the two teams are tied through 3-on-3, the 3-on-3 overtime period, they play 4-on-4 and then 3-on-3 like you guys do. If it's tied, both teams end up with a point. Kakoma, the team that pulled their goaltender in overtime, they were running out of track to try and catch the fifth place. They had already qualified for the playoffs. They didn't care. They were trying to catch the fifth place team and needed the 2 points. So rather than taking 1 point, they pulled their goaltender, gambled, and hope for the best. Unfortunately,
and got 0 points.
Unfortunately, they got no points out of it because the goaltender.
That's embarrassing. Not only did they score an empty net,
fired it down and scored the goal.
I didn't realize the net was empty. Yeah, I was so confused why how a goalie scored in.
So they went to go 4-on-3, but couldn't make it happen. And whoops.
That's funny.
Whoops. Didn't mean to do that. So if it matters, I mean, it didn't really help anybody other than what went on, but also shut them out 27 save shutout. So not only scored the game winner, but also recorded the shutout.
Wow.
So the goalie had a good game.
Anthony Hurtubis is his name. Hurtubis is his name.
Way to go, Anthony.
So there you go.
Anthony,
so huge, huge victory for St. Thomas because they were the ones who picked that up, but there's still a few points out of the playoffs. I haven't kept up with that, but huge, huge thing. I want to know, do you guys let Aaron and Lauren practice firing the puck down at the end of the game, end of practice? Is that
do
something
we let
you,
them?
I think they do it.
So if that's the case, then are we ever going to see a goal from the Bisons in terms of a goaltender goal?
Well, I know Chucky has an assist.
She's got an
assist. She has an assist this year. Yeah,
I can see Farkey trying.
Yeah,
going for
her
it.
Trying it.
Let her go crazy and.
I think
catch
if there was an empty net, I feel like she'd probably go for it.
She would go for it. Yeah.
You guys had a few this year that you could shoot against, so I thought there might be an opportunity there, but. Nobody ever lets the goalie shoot.
Risky.
We have to pass it back, give him a little lane, let him go for it.
I was hoping there might be an opportunity for that this year. I got about 3 minutes before the end of 2 minutes before the end of the show. Anything you guys want to say about this weekend before we let you get out of here?
We're come excited to play. Come watch. Sparky, what are your final words on this?
Sparky, since you've never been here before, fill the final minute of show for us, please.
Tell us what you're excited about this weekend.
I'm excited to play some hockey after.
What's your pregame routine tomorrow?
My pregame.
What are you eating?
Was it okay? Hold on. Before you answer that, was it as scary as you thought it was going to be being on radio?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. This is the quietest I've heard her in weeks.
You're like the rookies in terms of them being like, I don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
What are you eating?
So, it's pregame meal. What's pregame meal for you there, Sparky?
Pregame meal. I'm kind of feeling maybe some pancakes.
Oh, you don't have a typical pregame meal? Jordy Zacharias, what's your pregame meal?
You know what? Hold on. I am going to say right there, that might be the greatest pregame meal ever.
Pancakes are the greatest.
Pancakes, pancakes for your
protein
dinner.
Pancakes
well done.
Or just pancakes?
Just pancakes with a bunch of peanut butter on them.
Well done. Well played. I like it. I like it. Good choice.
I have my coffee. I have a pregame nap as well that I can get in as well.
Well, yeah, pregame nap's vital. So, Jordy, what's pregame for you in terms of... Every Friday,
Tortellini. Tortellini. This is home game. I can't eat it on the road. And I don't like meat sauce or anything.
Wait. Why not on the road? What happened on the road?
Well, on the road, I just get what we get. Okay. I don't have a choice.
No,
but I don't really like sauce, so I just put some butter and some
salt and pepper.
Parmesan.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's
and
fair.
Then I always drink a Monster.
Getting that ready, sorry. And then we got one more down there. Sharon, what's the pre-gamer?
Some pasta and chicken. Probably chicken fingers.
Some pasta, just random pasta.
No, I like pasta. Probably penne. I don't know. My mom's making it tonight.
Mom, make it.
Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Carla.
If you're listening.
How do you get
your
caffeine
Carla.
In you before your game?
Oh, so probably a Starbucks run on the way to the game. Yep. Shout out Starbucks if you want to sponsor the Bison Moms hockey team. We'd be very grateful.
We have a lot of drinkers.
All right, there we go. A lot of Starbucks coming through there. I'm going to ask you right now, and just before we get out of here, what's the have you guys made your order yet in case there's a long overtime like there was last year in the semifinals?
What do you mean order?
We got snacks in our dressing room.
Yeah? There's snacks.
We bought for 3 games, but we're going to eat for 2, hopefully.
All right.
So lots of food.
I'm going to say right now, if you guys are going to go like a dozen overtimes again, let us know in advance. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, no problem. We'll for sure.
Okay, well done. That's what I want to hear.
We'll let you know.
You can come catch these ladies tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at Wayne Fleming Arena. I suggest you do so. It's going to be a fantastic time. If you can't make that game, come on down on Saturday because that'll be the last game you'll see at home this season. Right?
Yeah. Well, depending on how it goes.
There is no if necessary.
If Ask wins, we can still host.
We don't talk about in the week after until you get there.
Well, yeah, you know? I know. So I'm just saying. So it's the possibly the last time we'll be here this season.
Possibly. All right.
But hopefully not.
In saying that, get your butts down here, though. Come see them play. It was a fantastic time last year. We had such a great time again with Alberta here and might see some history like there was last year. So in saying that, ladies, thanks for joining us here tonight on the Hockey Show. As always, go get them this weekend. Kill UBC and have some fun.
Thank you.
All right. All right. We're going to get out of here with the score. Here is Unstoppable once more because these ladies are unstoppable here on the Hockey Show. Join us every Thursday. We'll see you next week, everybody, here on 101.5 UMFM. As the battle gets closer, they can say what they want now.